Sermon passage this afternoon is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This afternoon, we're very glad to have Dr. Lim to share with us on the Word of God. Sermon title is, Are You Called? Dr. Lim, please.
That's fine. Before the sermon, I would like to express my gratitude to Pastor John Loke for his kind invitation to share God's word with all of you. My wife and I were so blessed to join you in worship. I'd like to thank Timothy for reading the scripture this morning. And my suggestion is to keep that text handy, because in the course of my sermon, I will be drawing your attention to some of the verses. May I invite you to join me for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we are full of gratitude to you for the gift of your word, which is always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We invite you this morning to enlighten us and to be our guide and our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we wish to consider the subject of calling. And if any of us are hiding, then God is calling us, isn't it? But what is a calling? It's a spiritual term, actually. It is a pull or a draw from God Himself for us towards a certain direction. But is it something that is felt or experienced only by full-time people or by missionaries or pastors? And so forth. Or is it a call for every Christian? I believe that it is for every Christian, that God's call is for every Christian, because God loves each one of us and He cares deeply for us, and each of us matters to Him. So in today's lesson, 1 Corinthians 1, we find St. Paul saying a number of things about calling, to be precise, four at least. His treatment of the subject will help us better understand the concept of calling, and it might help us even answer the question that is on the title page, on the title of the sermon, Are We Called? We begin with verse 1 of the passage. Here Paul tells us that he himself was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. For the time being, let us fix our thoughts on the two words, to be, that's underlined for you. So, in the first and foremost place, God's call to us is a call to be, not to do. In technical term, we are called to being, to be something, rather than to act or to do something. And this is important. God calls a person to be before he calls a person to do. A very subtle note here, but very important for us to be mindful that God calls us, first of all, to be who we are first, before calling us to do things for him. Now, the reason this truth is significant is that the first question that each of us should ask ourselves is, who am I? It's a question of identity, isn't it? It's a question which all of us at some point will ask ourselves. But the answer is more than just a name that we give ourselves, or the role we play, or the job we do. The answer to that question of who am I is much deeper than the question about our job and our identity. So if we define ourselves by what we are trained or called, that's by our name or our position, or by our role, we oversimplify the complexity of our individual self. We kind of reduce our level of humanity to become a lesser person. And that's why it's important that we understand God's calling to us as a call to be his child. Let us pause to think about those who understand themselves chiefly by the role they perform or by the job that they do. Who are you? Oh, you are the managing director of a business concern. Who am I? I'm a lecturer, or I'm a pastor, or one might say, I'm a lawyer, I'm an architect and an engineer, a social worker, and so on. Notice that all these answers are given in terms of what we do rather than who we really are. I found myself when I was in hospital telling the doctors, oh, I was a lecturer. I see, that was all that it matters, you know. Some people feel that they must prove themselves to be more than themselves, and so they drive themselves harder and harder. In a helpful book entitled Ordering Your Private World, the writer contrasts two types of people in our churches. Those who are called, which is a subject of our study today, those who are driven. Two types of people. Well, you see, the problem with those who are driven is that there is this heightened sense of their own self-importance. And so, driven by a sense of insecurity, so they must drive themselves to prove that they are someone. But if you had been called by God to be who you are, then this heightened sense of trying to prove, trying to compete, will not be there. And this is the reason why many people who hold positions in our churches, I'm not making reference to anyone, but there are chairmen and leaders and deacons and elders who find it very difficult when the time came for them to step down, because their role has become part of their self, and it provided the security that they needed. It gives them the respectability. And that's the one reason why they're so reluctant to pass on their role to someone who might be better to do the job. And when that happens, the person continues to drive himself so that he can justify staying on. So you see, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? And this is partly because we have failed to understand the concept of calling that St. Paul wants us to appreciate. Let me go on. The second aspect about God's call is quite significant as well. According to Paul, the call by God to us in verse 1 is always by God's will. God has will for us to be called to be his person. This is to say that God is the author, he's the source of our call. We didn't call ourselves. It is to say that God takes the first step in calling us. The initiative is wholly his. So we remember Jesus Christ saying, reminding us in John chapter 15 that we actually did not choose him, but he chose us and appointed us. Many people, especially when you are university students, we came to faith as a result of reading books by people like C.S. Lewis. I mean, he's one of my favorite authors, actually. But do you know that Lewis never became a believer until in his senior years? He only converted to Christianity at his senior years. And this is what he wrote about his experience. He said, "You must picture me alone in my college room in Cambridge, Magdalene College, that is, night after night, feeling wherever my mind lifted, even for a second, the steady and unrelenting approach of him whom I earnestly desired not to meet." He was not keen to meet God. And that which I greatly feared, the divine, greatly had finally come upon me. And in the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God. And I knelt and prayed, perhaps, that night. I was the most dejected and reluctant convert in whole of England. Now, Lewis certainly experienced the divine calling, but it was not a calling that was according to his own will, but by the will of God. Sometimes we think that we have become Christian because we chose God. We chose a Savior. We have other choices. But actually, before we even chose, we have been chosen. We have been called by God. And that is the meaning of calling according to God's will, if you understand that concept. Let me move on. In verse 2, St. Paul went on to say to the church that they were called to be his holy people. In older translations of the Bible, that phrase, called to be holy, simply read, called to be saints, to be saints. Both versions are correct, because saints are people who have been called to be holy. They are consecrated people. So the term holy was first applied in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. They were holy people. And how were they holy? They were holy in the sense that they were set apart, separate from the rest of the people in those times. If you go to a temple, and there are cups and spoons and candles on the altar, they are holy because you don't use them to eat. You don't use them for other purposes. They have been set apart for worship. And in that sense, they are holy. They were kept for certain use. So there is this misconception about holiness as having to do with the things we do, the religious acts, performances, as if the more we pray, the more we sing, the more holy we are. That's to confuse true holiness with rituals or practices. Of course, all those practices are proper and they help us become holy. But holiness is more than such acts of ritual. Holiness is to give ourselves as dedicated to the Lord for His use, in accordance with His will. Perhaps a simple illustration may help us better understand the concept of holiness today. You know, if a CEO of a business is given an official car parked right under the porch, he will not use the car all the time. Right? There will be times when the car is parked with the driver somewhere around. It would be very foolish for any one of his workers to say, why don't I take the car for a ride while the car is underused? Because the car is holy. It has been set apart and not to be used by anybody else. And in the same way, God has called us and asked us to be set apart for His purpose, to do His will, to carry out His mission, and it would be quite wrong of us to depart from the usage that God has called us to be. Let me go on to our last and final point. Our call by God is expressed in terms of our fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship meaning communion, connection, if you like. Verses 9 is quite explicit. God is faithful and He has called us into the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the call is very basic. His invitation is, come to me and follow me so that we can have this communion with each other. And it must be stressed that this fellowship that Paul is talking about is not about head knowledge. It's not how much we know about God, about ourselves, about the world, or even about the Bible. It is fellowship in the sense of a relationship with God, a personal relationship. And this is actually quite revolutionary because human beings can have a relationship with each other, but human and divine relationship is something altogether different. And yet, according to Paul, we have been privileged to be invited into this fellowship with the divine, even though we are not worthy. So we must not mistake church going and church Christian activity for this fellowship, which is a form of relationship with the Father. The scripture uses the imagery of the vine and the branch, right? To illustrate to us that this human and divine level of fellowship can be as close as the vine and the branch were close. And that because of their closeness, they sustain each other. And that's why John says that without Christ, we can do nothing. We need that fellowship, that linkage, that communion that Paul is trying to tell us. Well, we have looked at the concept of calling very briefly today. We have looked at the four attributes or characteristics of what a calling is. The first is that we're all called to be. But very often, we thought we are called to do, and so we busy ourselves, we drive ourselves against competition, against our own well-being, pushing ourselves right to the edge. For what? We have been called to be. Let's rest in that peace and let God be our God. Then we are called to be His people according to the will of God. This is important. It's not by our own will that we have chosen God. If He had not chosen us in the first place, perhaps we would not be here. So recognizing the priority of movement, that it was God who first initiated the calling, will set us on the right path. And then, of course, we are called to be holy people, people who are set apart for His purpose. We can do many things, but are they worthwhile? Because the worthwhile things to do is to do what God has called us to be, and that's to be set apart for His use. I thank God our pastor has served 19 years. It's no easy calling, isn't it? But I can tell you, it was a fulfilling life for him. And then finally, we have been called into a fellowship with the Son, a precious relationship, not to be entered into lightly. And sometimes we talk about Christian growth in terms of gathering more knowledge, in terms of becoming busier and bearing more fruit. But actually, our growth is a matter of deepening this relationship with the Father, with the Son. Like all relationships, isn't it? Time must be given to cultivate, to learn of each other and to nurture the relationships. So may I suggest that as we close, we think about these four ideas of calling, and that in our lives, we shall try to be people who are truly called by Him. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You that even though we are not worthy, You have called us. And You have called us to be the person You want us to be. You have called us by Your will and purpose. You have called us to be holy, and You have called us into a fellowship with Your Son. May we all dedicate ourselves this morning to be people who are truly Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.